This episode is brought to you in part by Growth Collective, the creative first agency specializing in Shopify stores. With rising costs in e-commerce, higher goods prices, increasing shipping rates, and soaring ad expenses, it could be tough to profit. Today, I want you to meet Growth Collective, a creative first agency that has an enviable track record with brands like BombTech Golf, Hush Blankets, CrossNet, Firebelly Tea, and more. By focusing on creating beautiful ads that resonate with your customer, they not only manage to make advertising profitable for their clients, but they make them scale too. And they have a special offer for you, my dear listener. Receive 30% off your first 3 months when you sign up for media buying services with Growth Collective. Get top-notch creative, state-of-the-art dashboards and tracking, and a team that's dedicated to your brand's growth. With a minimum value of $5,000 in savings, it's truly an offer too good to pass up. Visit wearegrowth.co and mention the unofficial Shopify podcast. Unlock your store's potential with a growth partner with a proven track record like Growth Collective. That's wearegrowth.co. One of the questions I get a lot from Shopify merchants is, hey, what are some of your favorite tools? What are the new tactics? Give me something new to try. I want a shiny toy to play with. And I think one of the tools that I love and I don't see getting used enough, given how successful I've seen it be, are quizzes. Some kind of online questionnaire that asks customers a few questions and then gives them a result. And generally, you know, it'll be a product recommendation quiz, something to that effect. And we've seen such great results with it, you know, using it on our client site, Harney & Sons Tea. They sell a lot of product. There's a lot of varieties of tea. They're very similar. And so they use a quiz. And the quiz says, find the right tea for you. And it makes product recommendations. And so in that sense, a quiz can be a quick, fun way for new customers to segment themselves. But there's other ways to use quizzes. Quizzes could be just this great top of funnel tool to help customers find the right stuff for them, get started, be confident, segment them, whatever it may be. But I am not an expert on quiz funnels. It's just very easy for me to go, yeah, quizzes, go try that. Bye. So I've got someone who is an expert on it. We're joined by Shanti Zak, a quiz funnel strategist, growth consultant, business coach, and generally, from what I could tell, quite a experienced and talented marketer. And she's going to teach us quiz funnel strategy today. Shanti, thanks for doing this. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing great. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, let's start with who are you? What do you do?
I am Shanti Zak, and I create quizzes and assessments for online brands in every niche under the sun.
Interesting client examples in there?
Oh my gosh. Everything from companies specializing in hair loss to people teaching others how to make the most of their single season to I just spoke with someone who has a probiotic soda that they want to sell more of. Like, really, there's never a dull moment in my daily life.
Any e-com brands, Shopify store owners stand out there?
As you said in the intro, there's not that many e-com brands doing quizzes. So I haven't actually worked with all that many in e-com, although I have many examples prepared for successful case studies I've seen from other people working with e-com. Though that probiotic soda company, that would be one. That's a good DTC brand.
What is their resistance? You said, hey, there doesn't seem like there's many. Why do you think that is?
If I knew the answer, I think I would have more econ clients. So anyone listening, if you want to tell me what the resistance is, I'm here for it. I think it's just one of those things that like quizzes seem sort of like a throwaway tactic, and if you're going to do one, you'll just put it together in a few hours and put it out there, and like, why should you hire an expert to help you with that? That's my assumption, and I could be totally wrong.
So I think we have to start with defining a quiz funnel. What is a quiz funnel?
You know what a quiz is, right? Everyone listening's probably experienced quizzes in some form. So you answer a series of questions, typically about yourself or your circumstances, and you get a personalized result, right? That gives you more insight into either who you are or a subject that you care about. And so quiz funnel is taking that idea of giving someone a quiz or an assessment and connecting the subject matter, the topic of that quiz or assessment, to what it is that you offer. What do you sell? And they get their results. It provides a solution. And part of that solution is the product that you sell. And so ideally, you instantly increase your sales off the back end of that quiz. People get their result. It gives them some personalized insight. It provides the solution. And they run toward that solution. If they decide not to make a purchase right away, then the journey can continue. You can capture their email. You can retarget people who took your quiz. And you can deepen that relationship and eventually, hopefully, sell them your product.
So how did you first stumble upon the idea of a quiz funnel? Like you're the quiz funnel expert. When and how did that happen? There must have been an aha moment there.
Yeah, it was very random. I was working as the in-house copywriter in a spiritual development company. And I was doing all the things, creating course content and the whole funnel that would lead people toward the course. So I was building lead magnets of every variety. And so we would often do these teleseminars to get people into the funnel. And it didn't work all that well. And so I thought, let's do something different. Let's just try a quiz. And the first quiz I did was, which of your chakras is blocked? And people just went crazy for it. It was wild. It was like more successful than any teleseminar, than any other lead magnet, checklist, free guide, anything that we've tried in the past. And I kind of thought, I might be onto something. And a few months later, I left that company and I was freelancing and really asking myself, like, what can I focus on? What should I niche into that not a lot of other people are doing? And that quiz experience stood out for me. And so I just ran with it and started offering it to other companies and other niches. And it took off. Yeah, it kept working.
You had tried other approaches. None were as successful as these quizzes. Why do you think that is? What's the advantage to quiz as a format?
I think it's because everyone's favorite topic, whether they want to admit it or not, is themselves.
I'm prepared to admit it.
Yeah. We all want to, like, it's a bottomless pit. We all want to learn more about who we are. We all want more insight into the things that we care about. And so when you focus on that and you provide those answers in some form, you create an instant connection with your potential customer and a surge of, like, happy brain hormones too. Like, we have I wish I had the funds to fund this study, but I'm pretty sure when we finish taking a quiz, we get like a nice little dopamine hit, especially when the results tell us something positive about ourselves.
Oh, I can absolutely see that. You're checking off boxes and getting a result. There is some gamification occurring there. So if you're being in client services, I imagine there's an element of education to, like, how quiz funnels work. As part of that, you must have stumbled upon common misconceptions. What's like the top couple misconceptions about quiz funnels that you hear often?
Yeah, I would say probably the most common and not always completely unfounded is that online quizzes produce low quality leads.
Odd. Okay. I've heard that about like spin to win, you know, those sorts of things, but not quizzes.
And this might not be so much in e-commerce, but yeah, a lot of times people think like, oh, if someone's just taking a quiz, that doesn't mean they're ever going to buy from me. And sometimes that's the case, because when you go into it and you just willy-nilly create a quiz that you think people are going to like and will be fun, but that has no correlation or minimal correlation to how you actually help people, what you provide, then yeah, you're not going to be attracting the right.
What kind of business is right for a quiz? What brands, product, category? Like, how do you decide who this is going to work for and who it probably isn't going to work for? There must be a few litmus tests you have in your head.
For the most part, if you have a brand where you have a diverse audience, you have more than one product that you sell, and you have people coming to you asking the same questions over and over and over again, probably a quiz or an assessment could help you. So it's really, that's most businesses, right? But if we're looking at e-commerce specifically, like if you have any form of analysis paralysis happening when someone hits your website, then a quiz can help you. And if your customer support inbox is full of the same question repeating itself from different people every single day, you can answer that question at scale. So it doesn't really matter like what niche you're in, how expensive your products are. There's a way to do it.
I like these ideas. And you mentioned analysis paralysis, which is a real common problem in that people come to a site, they go, now what? And the easiest option is give up. And that's what they do. Yeah. They just back button, close the tab, you know, switch back, switch app, whatever it is. And so in combating analysis paralysis with a quiz, how do you achieve that?
So that's where the tea company example that you used is a great example, because there's so many different types of tea. Like, I just want to know which one's right for me. So whether it's tea or t-shirts or foundation or skincare or something else entirely, that very simple question of which fill in the blank is right for you. It can be that simple.
So you mentioned you had some examples in mind. Give me some examples.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk about Jones Road because I think it's a great example. And interestingly, from what I've seen, they started with one quiz and expanded to have a quiz in every single category of the different products that they sell. So Jones Road is Bobby Brown's makeup company, and they have very simple quizzes that are really just all about finding the right product. So find the right shade of foundation, find the right shade of blush, etc., etc., right? And that's huge in makeup and in skincare and in anything where not all of the products are going to work for all of the people. So I think that their quizzes have amassed over 800,000 subscribers, but they had this whole TikTok ad strategy where the ads were going to the Shade Finder quiz. And they absolutely crushed with that. So that, I think, is a great example of, you don't have to be super clever. It can be as simple as like find the right product, find the right shade, right? And you can have a lot of success with that. And it increased their sales as well. they really were able to take someone who was curious and convert them into actually buying a product. Another example is Bamboo Earth. And so they have a skincare line, and they help people with their quiz to compile like their perfect skincare solution system. And their quiz increased their revenue by like over 3,000%. Like,
whoa.
Pretty wild. Yeah. They give people details on the ingredients that make this product so incredible, and you know why they're having issues with their skin before they even go in and try and sell them their products. So I think they do a really good job of giving people a deeper reason why they should purchase within their results, whereas Jones Road doesn't actually do that at all. They very simply just say, here's the foundation that you should go and buy. And there's nothing else. So there's certainly ways that I think Jones Road could improve their quiz experience. But who am I to say that when they've had a ton of success with it? I'm sure they've tested lots of different things. But
well, yeah, I mean, if you go on Jones Road Beauty, there's a quiz landing page, and there's 5 or 6 different quizzes on it.
Sephora does this as well.
Yeah. Find My Shade, the Miracle Balm quiz, which is product specific, the foundation quiz, face pencil and neutralizer, bronzer, tinted face powder quiz. My friends, say goodbye to inventory headaches. We're spotlighting Finale Inventory, our fabulous sponsor, and I got a chance to speak with Pauline from Finale, and she shared some key insights. Check this out.
The big one is overselling. So it's all about like those real-time syncs, and understanding at any given point in time where inventory stands, but also just making sure that, you know, Amazon doesn't have a different number than your Shopify store, so that you're not, you know, again, overselling. But we're always avoiding the overselling.
That's what sets Finale apart. Real-time inventory tracking across all your sales channels. And there's a bonus for our listeners.
We would love to offer your listeners a 20% off offer for their first 3 months.
Finale Inventory isn't just another tool. It's your pathway to seamless inventory management. Get started with a free 2-week trial and experience the ease. Visit finaleinventory.com and remember the code unofficial2024 for your exclusive offer. That's it for now. Keep tuning in. So, and you mentioned Octane. Is that the tool you use, or are there other tools or platforms you recommend for creating quizzes?
I think Octane is great for e-commerce and integrates directly with Klaviyo and Shopify. I often use another quiz builder called Interact. Try Interact is the domain, and they are also great, but do not yet have that direct integration with Shopify. They do have Klaviyo. So, you know, like if you have to cobble it together and use a bunch of zaps, that can be challenging. I know Interact is building an integration with Shopify, but for now, Octane AI it's nice and easy. And if you want e-commerce case studies for quizzes, go to octane.ai because they do a beautiful job of compiling their customer success stories. I mean, it's wild.
Break down the process. Walk me through creating a quiz. Where do I start?
Yeah, so you really want to start by zooming out and looking at the big picture. Like, what are your overarching goals with the quiz? And not just with the quiz, but with email, because the two are pretty intimately connected. You can give people the option to, at the end of the quiz questions, not give you their email and opt in to get their results, right? Or you can take that option away and say, if you want your results, you need to give your email. So actually, the two examples that I shared both do that in different ways. Jones Road, they don't care so much about getting your email. They just want you to buy the product. So you get to the end and you're not even prompted to offer your email. Whereas Bamboo Earth, in order to get your results, you're giving them your email. So there's those two ways of doing it. And that's important to consider because if part of your overarching growth strategy is you're going to zero in on email marketing and all the things that you can do as an e-commerce brand with email, then you at least want to have the option for people to give you their email. And you at least want to be thinking about, okay, what's going to happen in their inbox if they give us their email after they take this quiz? So you can drive a lot of sales after the fact, even if someone doesn't buy immediately from your results. So
why would I not want to at least, shouldn't the default preference be optionally give us your email?
Yeah, I think so. I can only imagine that like a brand like Jones Road took that out because potentially it created confusion or friction that they deemed unnecessary. But that's also a brand that is driving an insane amount of traffic using other strategies. And their main goal is sales from the eyeballs that they get onto the site from, say, TikTok or other platforms. So I can kind of understand it because often people will see that email bar and like their brain shut down. They're just like, whoa, I have to get my email, X out, run away. Even if it's obvious that they don't, at least obvious to us. So that's the only reason I could see. Otherwise, absolutely. Like you want to capture as many emails as possible and having that option for people to skip that step, even then, if they skip it and they get their results and they love what they read or watch, then you want to have another opportunity in the results for them to get on the email list and opt in. Because like the benefit there is you're capturing a lot of great data from your questions that you ask that you can use in a myriad of ways.
How do I know what to ask? That's the hard part. I could ask 20 questions, one question. Where do I begin?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. So I would tell you to pretend that you are having a one-on-one conversation with someone who, let's say you had a physical store. Let's just say it's a tea store. And a customer walks in and they're like, hey, I'm interested in tea, but I have no idea what I want. Can you help me? And you, as the merchant, are going to ask them questions, right? You're just like, well, okay, tell me a bit about your preferences. Do you like fruity? Do you like a bit of a bitter aftertaste? Do you want caffeinated? Do you want herbal? And you're just going to keep asking them questions until you get enough information to say, like, okay, you might actually really be into this oolong that we just got in. Here, let me tell you a bit about that one. Or here's another option. Or like, here's this green tea that we've had a lot of people give us great feedback on. Like, you would just ask them questions and that would come really naturally to you because you know so much about the products that you sell.
Many years ago, I used to work in a bike shop. Someone walked to the door and you said, hey, what brings you in today? It's a little too broad. Often the better question was they walk in, hey, welcome in. What kind of riding do you do? And immediately you have started a conversation and in your head segmented them into like, all right, you know, road bike, triathlete, recumbent, mountain bike, e-bike, whatever, because they're very different things to different people. But you know, when you're looking just at the broad category of bike store, it can be overwhelming. There could be a lot to it. But the moment we just know that one multiple choice answer, immediately like 80% of the products in the store become irrelevant to that person. As that says, like that's, you know, a lot of what's going on is segmenting it down to like, okay, here's what's relevant to you. Let's get rid of the stuff you don't care about.
Yeah, I used to work in supplements and someone would come in and a great question to ask was like, well, what are your health goals? And really just nailing like, what do you actually care about? Why are you here? So this is the exact same. You're just doing it at scale with a quiz.
So give me some common questions or formats that you might use?
So often I will coach people to create questions in three different categories. So the first one, those are like your research questions, and they might actually have very little or nothing to do with the result that someone gets. So how I teach this is like, just make a list of all the questions that if you had free rein and you could get the answers to these questions from your potential customers, what would those questions be? And so often that's like, okay, well, I want to know their age. I want to know their sex. I want to know more like demographic information, because that can be incredibly helpful, right? But often it's hard to ask those questions because it can also veer into like a perceived invasiveness. So we can get creative in the ways that we ask those, but that's not important. The first thing you need to do is like, what do you want to know the answers to? Because you have this opportunity with your quiz to get some of those answers at scale. So that's your first set of questions, or your research questions. And we have 10 questions in a quiz, which statistically we don't want to have more than 10 questions because we start to see drop off with each additional question over 10. So out of 10, I like to do like 3 research questions. And if I can correlate them to what result someone gets, great. If I can't, that's okay too. So the second type of question is really just engagement or wheel greasers, you can call them. And those are just your questions that are fun and easy to answer. And they might have something to do with what result someone gets. They might not. But really, those are like, I like to think of your questions as building a sandwich with many pieces of bread and many different toppings. And we want to put the more serious, boring questions in between the engaging, fun to answer questions. I have a question in one of my quizzes that's like, if you, and I'm just a weirdo who loves to garden, so that it's on brand for me. But I ask people, if you were a root vegetable, what would you be and why? And like, I get so much feedback on that one silly question. So it's questions like that.
You know, I would be a water chestnut.
Are water chestnuts a root vegetable?
I Googled root vegetable and got a list. And it was like, okay, corms, okay. Celery root and water chestnut. Like, okay, sweet.
All right, you're crunchy. I like it. Yeah.
Okay, so I could see where you can make it like personalized and fun in there.
Keep it fun, keep it interesting. And then you have your segmentation questions, which are like, you're tying those to what result someone gets. That's how you're determining what result someone gets. So if you have a like, what type of bike should you buy quiz, and one of the results is a mountain bike and one's an e-bike and one's recumbent, then cool. We're going to have a few questions in there that help us identify which of those is going to be the best fit for this quiz taker. And I like to have it like, if possible, 5 questions that correlate to what the results are going to be. And so just for the record, you can have a question that is a research question and an engagement question and a segmentation question all at the same time. You can do that, but you don't have to. That's how I go about it. I make a list of my research questions, engagement questions, segmentation questions. Usually then I have way more questions than I can actually use. So I pick my favorites and the best of them and consolidate that into 10 good questions.
And the thing I don't get, how are the results determined? What is how does that, like, do you assign point values? Is it like a logic tree? I don't get it. Yeah. I've never had to do that part.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. So you can do it in a few different ways. Like, if you were doing that bike quiz, then you would just have like, result 1 is a mountain bike, result 2 is an e-bike, and result 3 is a recumbent bike. And so if you asked a question, what do you want to use your bike for? And option A is, I want to go mountain biking. Option B is, I want to get to work each and every day. And option C is, I have no idea because I don't know anything about recumbent bikes. Anyways, you would then on the back end assign option A to result number 1. option B to result number two and option C to result number three. So there's that way of doing it. If you were doing a score-based quiz, then yeah, you would say, okay, this result if they get in the range of 50 to 75 points, they get this result. This one is 25 to 50 points. And then you would certainly just assign score values to each of the potential question options. So that if you were doing a score quiz, you would do it that way. And if you're using something like branching logic, which let's use a different example for this. The example I like to use is you're going to buy a new car. What new vehicles should you purchase? And so our first question that we ask is, okay, like we want to know if they want a van, a truck, or a car. And if they choose a car, then they get placed on a whole different journey in terms of questions we ask than someone who chose a truck. And so that's your most complex way of doing it. If you have a massive suite of products that you offer, then sometimes branching logic is what's going to make the most sense.
Did you know that most Shopify stores are leaving 10 to 20% of their revenue on the table with every single purchase? Each year, Shopify merchants make New Year's resolutions to increase profits, but they overlook one crucial aspect: maximizing every order with upsells. That's like breaking your promise on day one. But you could turn that resolution into reality with Zipify One-Click Upsell. One-Click Upsell is this secret weapon Shopify merchants are using to unlock extra revenue on every single sale. I've seen this app transform stores, doubling their revenue. In fact, One-Click Upsell has already helped merchants like you make $500 million in extra upsell revenue for your stores. Zipify OCU is the original Shopify upsell app, and it's been boosting AOV, that's average order value, since 2016, thanks to its seamless integration and intuitive upsell funnels. With the most upsell placements, AI-driven copy suggestions, and mobile-friendly designs, it's no surprise that the average OCU user increases revenue 10 to 15% as soon as they set up the app. The new year brings new opportunities, my friend. So start your 2024 strong with the app that makes your revenue goals a reality. Zipify One-Click Upsell. Go to zipify.com/Kurt and start the 30-day free trial today. That's zipify.com/KURT to try Zipify One-Click Upsell for free. Don't just make resolutions, make profits. Add Zipify One-Click Upsell today and kick off the new year with a lot more sales. All right, once I have my quiz figured out and it works, it generates results, and I need to put it on my site, what's the best way to get people to interact with it? Like, I've seen it in the main menu, in the header, as a pop-up, as a featured promotion. I've seen these quizzes linked to in all manner of places. So with that open-endedness, now I have choice paralysis. Where do I put the darn thing?
Yeah. I like to, if possible, put it above the folds. It's one of the first things someone sees when they land on your website. If you know it works, right? Like, you want to test it first. But if you know that, okay, X percentage of people who take the quiz are converting its buyers and their average order value is way higher than people who don't take the quiz, then cool. I'm definitely going to want to have it front and center. So above the fold. And then, of course, pop-ups, love them or hate them, they work. So also having it as a pop-up is going to be really effective too.
And I assume that, you know, placement changes visibility. So certainly this is going to change the effectiveness, at least like in terms of quantity of people who take the quiz.
Oh yeah, absolutely. If you are driving traffic from, you know, social or paid ads, then I would be driving straight to a landing page where the only option is to take the quiz.
You know, I imagine this would also work well as an email and a welcome series.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And or like re-engaging people who've gone cold, who are on your list and they've never purchased anything, or maybe they have purchased something, but it's been a while. Like, how do you re-engage those people? You can absolutely use a quiz to do that too.
And then I could use it the other way to segment and make my emails more relevant to customers by, if I have the integration set up right and I'm asking these demographic questions or, you know, interest questions, I can then pipe those back into their customer profile. And once I have that info, then I can say, all right, well, I, you know, this person is, well, if I'm selling men's and women's clothing, and now I know that which of the two they shop for based on the quiz, I can make sure I'm only showing them the stuff that's relevant to them.
Yes, totally.
All right, I like that. Because anytime you, you know, you're sending irrelevant content to someone, that's when they're going to unsubscribe or, you know, get in the habit of just deleting your emails. Now, quizzes seem like a thing. I don't know that there's a ton of evolution that's possible there. I mean, obviously, we'll just shout like AI, just, you know, rub some AI on it. But where do you see quizzes evolving to, changing in 5 years? Or are they going to work roughly the same as now?
Yeah, I mean, what I'm seeing already happening is, you know, you're taking quiz directly in the social media platform that you engaged with the brand on to begin with. So you can say you have an Instagram ad or even just organic campaign going, you can lead people to, you know, the ManyChat automation thing, type quiz in the comments, and we'll send you the quiz right to your DMs. And then you can just take the quiz right there in your DMs and get the result right there in your DMs and then go buy the thing, right? Like, that I think is the next sort of iteration of how I see quizzes evolving. It's really just native integration. It's already happening. A great example that's not e-commerce, because I haven't actually seen it with e-commerce yet, but Tori Dunlap, who's a financial teacher, primarily for women, she does this. And you can go and take her quiz right in your Instagram DMs, get your results, and you still give your email. You're still added to the email list. You can still import important data to your email marketing system. But on the quiz taker side, it's so much more convenient to just be able to do it in the app.
Yeah, and it's just extra steps to be removed. I hadn't even thought of that. But yeah, the idea of quiz as ad format, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And with something like ManyChat, I think you could probably get there now.
You can, totally.
All right, so for someone who's listening but still on the fence, they're like, all right, quiz, that's a tool in my toolbox, but I'm not necessarily going to implement it now. What's the elevator pitch? Why should they do it today?
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, it's the only thing that lets you feed three birds with one scone. So if you aren't already using email segmentation to dramatically increase your sales, come on. Like, quiz lets you do that. The second thing is that, like, appeal to the ego approach of, you want to make your customers feel special and loved up, and like, you see them, you get them, you celebrate them, you give them that dopamine release, and they correlate you to those good feelings. So like, what else lets you do that? I don't know. And then lastly is zero party data, and also that like interactivity component. So your zero party data, you're getting information from your potential customers with their consent. You can ask them anything. And that information that you gather is going to help you become a better marketer. It's going to strengthen your messaging, improve your content. And how else do you get that at scale? Like, sending surveys that nobody wants to take?
It's funny, you call it a survey. I'm like, ugh, you call it a quiz. And now I'm much more interested.
Right? Yeah, because there's something in it for you when you take a quiz. When you take a survey, you're just doing someone a favor.
You're right. The implication is the outcome. The survey sounds longer and less fun because at the end it just goes, thanks for filling out my form.
I mean, you have to flip and pay people to get them to take surveys. Whereas a quiz, like, you get to ask all of those burning questions for free. And it's so much fun to me as a business owner to analyze that data and see like, whoa, I'm actually really shocked by how people answered this. 80% of my audience doesn't want the V-necks. They want the crew neck. I don't know, but you know what I mean. So here's my elevator pitch.
So where can we learn more about you?
ShantySack.com is my website. You can head there. You can take any number of my quizzes. I think I have 5 on my site. And the one that's probably most relevant to listeners of this podcast is my very meta quiz. It's all about what type of quiz you should create to grow your biz. And you're probably going to get the e-commerce results. And in that result, you'll find a whole bunch of examples and just really step-by-step of like how you go about and create a quiz for your business.
There's some good stuff in here, including the brand voice quiz. All right, I'm putting that.
That one's really old. It's honestly embarrassing and I need to redo it, but it's there. It's there. It exists.
Well, that's how you know you're good at what you do is when you're embarrassed by the stuff you used to do.
Annoyingly, that's the quiz that ranks the most. And I get so much search traffic for that quiz.
That's how that goes. Yeah. Google's like, oh, the thing that you don't want to rank? Let me go ahead and help you with that. Like, oh,
yeah,
thanks.
Exactly. Yeah.
You can never change this now. Like, oh, thanks, Google. Okay. This has been perfect. Thank you so much. If I love this idea. I don't have the time. Can I hire you to just do this for me?
Yeah, totally. I need more e-commerce case studies, so come at me and I'll hook you up.
And I assume just ShantiZack.com is where we go.
Yeah, you got it.
All right, and I got all those links are in the show notes. At this point, tap, swipe up, swipe right, swipe left. I don't shake the phone. Just paw at it, and eventually you'll get to the show notes. You'll get there. But yeah, I included all those links in the show notes. ShantiZack, this has been enlightening. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kurt.
Crowdfunding campaigns are great. You can add social proof and urgency to your product pre-orders while reducing risk of failure. But with traditional crowdfunding platforms, you're paying high fees and giving away control, all while your campaign is lost in a sea of similar offers. It can be frustrating. That's why we built Crowdfunder, the Shopify app that turns your Shopify product pages into your own independent crowdfunding campaigns. We originally created Crowdfunder for our private clients, and it was so successful, we turned it into an app that anyone can use. Today, merchants using Crowdfunder have raised millions collectively. With Crowdfunder, you'll enjoy real-time tracking, full campaign control, and direct customer engagement. And it's part of the Built for Shopify program, so you know it's easy to use. So say goodbye to high fees and hello to successful store-based crowdfunding. Start your free trial and transform your Shopify store into a pre-order powerhouse today. Search Crowdfunder in the Shopify App Store to get started.